Well, if you can't drink 'em, leave 'em, and if you can't leave 'em, drink 'em. It used to be a phrase heard quite regularly at closing time in pubs, and it's a line that Mary Crawley, the long-time licensee of the Tattersalls Hotel at Birringan, soon will no longer be saying. The 93-year-old publican is calling time, with the pub, which is located around a kilometre south of the New South Wales-Queensland border on the Mitchell Highway, it's about 150 km north of Bourke. Well, it's up for sale. Michael Kavanagh headed out to find out why Mary Crawley was shutting up shop.
There were some people here, men, on motorbikes here. They were standing around the bar having a drink and carry on, and someone said it was Russell Crowe. I'd never heard of Russell Crowe. And they decided they liked the pub, so they'd have tea here, stay the night, and they slept on the veranda. Never ever heard of Russell Crowe, because if he'd have been a racehorse, it would have been different.
Mary Crawley enjoys a punt, so it's not surprising that Russell Crowe may have had a better chance of being recognised if he was a racehorse rather than as an Academy Award winner. Mrs. Crawley has been operating the pub since 1977, after she and her husband Bay moved from Bourke. She continued on after Mr. Crawley died in 1994. However, she's calling time, with the pub up for sale. These days, there's the hotel, and for those travelling the outback, there's a camping ground and little else. On the day I caught up with her, she was keeping one eye on the television watching the races, form guide in her hand. Like a lot of horse racing aficionados, she's a big fan of Winx, and I had to do my interview around Winx's run.
We'd had a big family which had to go away to school when they finished at the convent. We just wanted to change. We'd never been in a pub before. But anyway, it was a wonderful place to come. It was a truckies pub, long distance truckies in those days. If they liked you, they'd try and get through with two in the night, which was illegal, two trailers. If they got here, they'd come over and have their breakfast. Those men became real friends. They were absolutely fabulous.
Now, there's only been five owners of this hotel. Has that been something that you've been very aware of, and there's a tradition that you've had to keep on?
Yes, I'd say so. It's never been a pub that's been any trouble here. Can never remember. The Lacks were here for 60 years. We've been here 40. I believe the pub has been opened the late 1860s. At one stage, there were three pubs here, but two burnt down. And like I've heard them say, there were 200 people here in the early days of Birringan. And there's an old police station over there, which the remains of it we still own. And there was also a few cottages and things around.
The sort of clientele today, you still get mainly, what, truckies and grey nomads?
No, not many. Not many truckies. The truckies are not allowed to pull up. I don't know a truckie now at all, whereas I knew everyone on the road in those days.
So you must have had very different people over the years.
Never had anyone horrible that I can remember.
What do you put that down to?
I don't know. Maybe you're friendly towards them, and people from all parts of life. You had shearers and a lot of truckies.
You and your husband also ran it in an unusual way, in the fact that here you've got a pub in a very isolated part of New South Wales. Truckies coming through, but there was a very strict rule about language in the bar.
In the 40 years I've been here, I've never had to be really rude to anyone. People respect you for what you're like, I think, and I don't know what it is. I've got on very, very well with people. I couldn't be, happier. But the chuckies were great, and we used to have the shearers. There's not that much shearing now, but in those days there was a lot more. Bilaley was going a lot bigger in those days. I don't know, I was always friendly towards people, but they respect you for what you maybe behave or talk.
What do you think you'll miss about it?
I miss it now, that I'm not in the bar and listening and talking to people.
Was it hard work?
No, it was constant, but it wasn't hard work.
Now, I'm looking around your room here, and there's the book about black caviar, the racehorse, and you had the TV on and you're watching the races. What is it about horse racing?
Well, I've loved it all my life.
How close do you follow the racing these days?
Not half as much as I did. I've got a bit old and dotty.
You're not that dotty, because you're following Winx very carefully, aren't you?
Yes, well, I think she's just unreal.
There seems to be a bit of discussion over whether here you are as a licensee for many years. Some say you've never had a drink. What's the truth from you?
The truth from me is that I've had sherry at dinner and that. I've never had a beer in my life. There's something behind that too. I had a father I loved, but he was a very heavy drinker. And I think it's something that's hereditary. I had a brother whom I loved very much and everyone else did, and he was an alcoholic.
Do you find it strange that you've spent all this year then selling alcohol?
No, not at all.
Would you have liked one of the kids to have taken over the pub?
No, I wouldn't want anyone to take it over the family.
When you weren't behind the bar, what did you do?
Read. Great reader I used to be. And there's always work to do around. I used to have fowls and there were ponies here.
What are you going to miss about this when you move and you're going to Forbes?
The people. It's just amazing the change in people from those days when we first came out here. If you're maybe patient enough or something nice about everyone, if you take the time to find out what they're interested in. No, I like people.
When you were confronted with a customer that you thought had to leave, as the woman behind the bar in a very remote town, and there wouldn't have been many people around, how did you handle those situations?
Never had a fear. Never, ever. People just, maybe it's a way, I don't know what it is, but no, I've never ever been frightened. I've never had people that are horrible. Most people, if you're nice to them, they're nice to you, aren't they?
For the family, the decision to sell was not something made overnight. They've all been helping in one way or another over the past 12 months after Mrs. Crawley suffered a fall, making it impossible for her to carry on the way she had done previously. Of the children, her youngest, Jerry Collins, spent the most time growing up in the hotel and these days lives down the road at Bourke.
It's been an incredible home. I was 8 years old when we came out here. So as a little kid, to just suddenly have all this space, to know that we would have horses, we would have things that we weren't ever able to have in town. And I had the luxury of doing correspondence, which in those days wasn't school of the air. I didn't have to be tied to a set time or a microphone. I could be doing 6 hours of schoolwork on a Monday and have the rest of the week off. It was fantastic. So I had absolute freedom to roam and do what I wanted, and was very much part of the fabric of the bar and the pub. And, you know, I think I got banned from the bar at one stage when I was about 10 because I thought it was much easier to go in there and ask answers to the schoolwork I had rather than trying to come up with them myself.
Life in a pub's a bit different these days. There were times that you were probably just able to see over the bar and yet you would sometimes go in and serve.
Yeah, that's right.
Your parents had fairly high standards about behaviour in the bar. So was life a bit of a surprise and some of the characters that would walk in?
It's always been a bar where women and children were very welcome and part of it. So there was expectations around language and behaviour that have always been maintained. And I think the lovely thing particularly about Dad, but far more so Mum, has been and continues to be her ability to see the human being and the human dignity.
It's a fairly remote area still. Was there ever a time when you'd be worried about your mum out managing a pub by herself?
Yes, the last 10 years. It's been, it's been a difficult balance. It's been always that fear of knowing how isolated she is, knowing how close to the road she is, knowing how vulnerable she is, knowing how stubborn she is.
The final decision is your mum's, but how hard has it been for the family to realise that something that's been in the family and quite unique?
I think we have all, you know, as I said, we're sad, but it's time, and it really is a time that we're happy to let go. It's just so important to find the next people that can come in and love it and nurture it and be the custodian for all the little bits and pieces and quirks of the places we have been.
Jerry Collins there, the daughter of Mary Crawley. Finally, the family's selling up their Tattersall's Hotel out the back of Bourke. I've been waiting years to say that on the radio. You'll excuse the pun, I'm sure. Well, we might be in the midst of a cold snap in southeastern Australia, but slowly spring will start to emerge. Have faith, people. And of course, that means bees will then get nice and toasty and will start heading out searching for nectar. They're a crucial part of agriculture, pollinating about two-thirds of all our crops. But you might be surprised to learn it's not just farmers who need bees. Our urban landscapes do too. Beehives can now be found on the rooftops of Sydney's top hotels, tucked in among the flowers of the Botanic Gardens, and even hidden at Sydney's oldest and largest cemetery, Rookwood. There are also 100 hives at Mascot Airport under the flight path of Qantas aeroplanes, where their honey is mixed into cocktails for first-class passengers. Serena Locke suited up to meet urban beekeeper Doug Purdy at the airport hotel with his hives.
Oh, look, bees are very popular at the moment. It seems everybody that's got chickens wants to have bees, and you know, if they're growing, it's I guess it's part of the sort of that homemaker thing where everybody wants to make something, and honey is quite easy to make because the bees will do the hard work for you.
At the airport, though, where do you find enough flowers? At the buildings around the airport?
Well, you know, if you look at airports, there's a lot of grass and sort of areas around the airport that isn't actually maintained. And weeds are fantastic forage for bees. So, you know, all you need is things that are flowering and the bees have enough food.
And how do they respond then to any avgas or pollution?
We actually were part of a PhD study last year testing pollution in our honey, and they tested a whole heap of sites around Sydney. What they did was they did atmospheric testing and then tested the bees and the honey itself. And they found no avgas in the honey that came from the airport. They found very little pollution in the honey in the city at all, much lower than they found in other cities around the world. So our bees are healthy and they make nice honey without any pollutants in them, which is a good thing.
So who eats the honey grown at the airport?
Well, we've got an apiary there for Qantas, and the honey from that apiary goes into the lounges, into the first class lounge, and is used in cocktails and desserts and things like that.
What are the hotels that you've got your beehives on?
We've got quite a few hotels. I mean, we're here at the Pullman Hotel, which is near the airport. We've got them at the Shangri-La Hotel and the QT Hotel and the Swiss Hotel. A whole heap of hotels and other corporates all have bees. You just wouldn't know that they were there necessarily.
And they all use the honey in their breakfasts and those sorts of things?
Yeah, look, each of the organisations has got a use for their honey, and each one of them uses the honey slightly differently. But it's not all about the honey either. I mean, they've got bees because we need pollinators, and having beehives means that those bees are pollinating areas around the hotel. Bees will travel up to 5 kilometres from the beehive. That means a single beehive is covering sort of a 50 square kilometre radius. So when you think about that, you know, if you've got things growing in your backyard that need pollinating, then those pollinators are going to come along because they're coming from one of the rooftops.
How much honey has been made here at the airport in the last couple of years?
Well, it depends. It's funny, like all farmers, we're a bit funny about the amount of honey that we're making. You know, and beekeeping is farming, so we're very dependent on the seasons. So last year wasn't a great season. The rain came too early, etc. So we made about 50 to 60 kilos per beehive. But our average has been about 100, up to 170 for one of the hives.
And how many hives?
Oh, we've got about 10 hives, 10 hives for Qantas. We've got 4 hives here at the Pullman Hotel. And we've got about 100 hives spread across Sydney in different locations.
People will notice that on the roads to the airport, there's a lot of road work. What's happening to the trees and the flowers?
Well, look, the sad thing is a lot of really old trees are being removed for widening the roads at the moment. So, you know, here in Alexandria, these paper barks that were sort of 1 metre, 2 metres in diameter have been chipped. And that's really sad because it's great forage and it's not going to come back in a hurry. Paper bark is an amazing winter food source, so that all those paper barks are now gone. And we're not planting things to replace them, we're planting concrete. So that's no good for any of our beneficial insects. So flowering plants is what we need.
The Rookwood Cemetery has beehives, and they forage on some pretty endangered species of bushland, but they keep it all a very big secret. Why is that?
Look, I think most beekeepers are a bit protective of where they've got their hives. One of the reasons for that is a lot of hives are being stolen at the moment. So people have had their fences cut in their backyards and their hive stolen. So believe it or not, bee rustling is a real thing, and some people are a bit concerned about that.
But what you do when you steal hives and you set up a hive is that you have a risk of spreading diseases, don't you? What's the most risky disease that Sydney has?
The biggest problem we have here in New South Wales is a thing called American foul brood. And it's a disease, it's a spore-based bacteria that spreads through honey and beekeepers and beekeeping equipment. So the big risk is if you've got a beekeeper who's not looking after their beehives and one of their hives contracts this disease, that it becomes weaker and then other bees come along and steal the honey and spread it. And that's basically how it works. So, if you want to be a beekeeper, you really need to get some training so that you know what you're looking for and look at your hives to make sure that there isn't a problem.
But you've even had it in your hives, have you?
Oh, look, totally. I mean, it's funny, American foul brood, people seem to treat it like a bit of a venereal disease, so they don't talk about it. And I always say that people should tell everybody, you know, if you've got this disease, tell people so they know it'll check their hives. And I used to think I was a good beekeeper and would never get it. Ultimately, I got it. Everybody gets it sooner or later.
You sterilise your hive and you start again?
Yeah, I mean, you have to. Unfortunately, the bees have to be killed. And there's a whole protocol you have to go through because it is a notifiable disease. But yeah, I mean, it shouldn't stop you being a beekeeper. You just start again or look, check your other hives because most beekeepers have got more than one hive.
The hives you were just transferring over to polystyrene hotels, why were you doing that?
Well, we're actually trying out polystyrene. Most of our beehives are timber, and some of our sites are exposed to conditions that aren't great. So the hotel here is a bit shaded and then a bit hot. So we thought we'd try out the polystyrene and see if the bees do better at it. I'm not sure what the addiction is with bees, but anybody who gets one beehive will ultimately have more than one. And bees are fascinating creatures. You know, they allow us to come in and fiddle in their lounge rooms and make honey and pollinate plants and help the rest of nature continue. So what they do is really quite magical.
It is. That's Doug Purdy from Urban Beehive speaking with Serena Locke at the Pullman Airport Hotel. And you can see some lovely pics of Serena's adventures with the bees. I'm glad she had her safety suit on. Head to our Radio National homepage and look for A Country Breakfast under the Programs tab.